This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of the Spurs Show podcast is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Greene King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's any match on the telly, but this month there's also 1,000 pints of free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. That's Greene King Sport. Get the app. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Tottenham Hotspur fans around the world, and welcome to another Spurs show. It's Theo Delaney here in North London, where we are coming to terms with a home defeat at the hands of Wolves. Second time we've been mauled by them this season. And there are some murmurings of discontent starting to be audible around the subject of Ange Ball. So we'll look back on that disappointment and perhaps anticipate more as the news reaches us that our next opponents, Crystal Palace, have replaced Roy Hodgson today with highly rated former Frankfurt boss Oliver Glasner. So the new manager bounce will be just off the launch pad where we play them in a fortnight's time. Returning to the show to discuss all this and more are from the proud Lily Whites, Chris Powross. Hi, Chris.
Hello, hello. How are we doing?
Good, great to see you. And legendary Northern Soul man Richard Searling is back. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Theo. Great to be back.
Great to have you both aboard on this. We haven't had many downbeat shows this season, what we were thinking of, but I do feel there's a slight, for the first time, if you've dipped your toe into social media today, I do feel for the first time there's a bit of whinging going on about the manager. And we haven't really had that. I mean, I first encountered it last week when I saw my good friend Rob White, who comes on here a lot. And even before this Wolves game, he was saying, I'm not sure about Ange. He never has a plan B. And I think he, you know, I don't like the look of it. We're looking vulnerable in every game. And then, of course, he was vindicated by Saturday's result to some extent. I mean, I don't know. I mean, where are you on Ange at the moment, Chris?
My love for Ange remains true, Theo.
Great.
I think there's a couple of things. One is, we weirdly don't like playing against Wolves.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I remember there was one season at White Hart Lane. I can't remember which season it was. We lost against Wolves, West Brom and West Ham at home.
It was all the W's.
Mm. So I think there is that. I also think that we know that the way that Ange plays, he's not going to change it regardless of the personnel. So he's got the fullbacks that he wants for the way that he plays, which is Porro and Udogie, and they weren't there. Now, actually, I thought Ben Davis did a good Emerson wasn't at his best. Fine. I don't necessarily want to criticise individual players. But I do think there's something about the fact that we know that it takes time for the way that Ange plays to bed in, you know, in terms of where their fitness levels get to. You know that, you know, look at any Ange team, there are always like lots of injuries in season one. Bentancur's not back at his best, and we've, you know, they've told us he's probably not going to be back at his best until next season. Maddison looks slightly off the pace since he's come back from his injury, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think, you know what? You lose football games. We're not going to win every match.
No,
no one's going to win every match. So I just think it's easy. We're all, you know, we're in social media where we've all got immediate opinions. I completely understand that. And it's frustrating, right? It is frustrating losing a match. And we can have, you know, our hot takes. And I totally get that. And I think, you know, everyone should like definitely go out there and do their thing. However, I think that questioning arguably the best manager we've had in a very, very long time over one game, we've got to kind of, you know, give it the time. It's a, you know, I hate to use the term project, but it is a project. And I think, you know, you're not going to win every game. I mean, how I managed to stay upbeat about it, I don't know, because actually I came away from that game going, I genuinely don't know what happened. Why were we so shit? Excuse my language. You know, apart from those that 34 seconds, actually the first 5 minutes weren't bad either. And then the first minute when we scored in the second half. But other than that, we just didn't bring anything to the party, which was
it was troubling. I mean, you make one very interesting point, which a few people have picked up on, which is that we were missing both fullbacks, who are so important. They've been such a revelation, the two of them. They've been absolutely brilliant this season. Whichever way you want to measure them, they've been brilliant to watch, but their stats have been incredible as well. And they're so strong and formidable and energetic. And we're missing both of them. But some people have said, yeah, well, you know, if you're missing two players that are so integral and so essential to that way of playing, surely what you do if you're a sophisticated manager is you simply play a different way when you don't have them. What do you think about that, Richard?
Yeah, three at the back with Dragozin in, maybe it might have been another option. But I just thought it just went on too long on Saturday afternoon. I didn't go to the game, but I did watch on a feed for the first 20 minutes. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, it looked to me that we just had no clue. It was side to side. There was nothing there that looked anything like Ange ball to me. It didn't surprise me when I heard that Wolves had gone one up. Then when we equalised, I really thought we'd turn it round. And I think the most disappointing thing was, we, you know, apart from that header that went over from Richarlison and the header at the end from Davis, which I don't know how he contrived to miss, by the way. The problem we've got is all about context now. That lot up the road winning games. I mean, all of us now are Liverpool and City fans as second and third teams, aren't we? I mean, I'm going to be watching City tomorrow night. I was cheering them on against Chelsea. I would never normally do that. And you've got United getting all sorts of crazy, weird decisions going for them, closing the gap. They've got Fulham next before we play again. And it just felt like a win on Saturday would really have put us clear. And it wasn't just a one-match defeat. It felt like the whole season imploded with that result. And coming on the back of the game at Wolves, which Chris mentioned, I mean, I was actually DJing, would you believe, that lunchtime at Blackpool Tower. And I hate that. Hate it. Because I've got my phone by me. Well, because I can't concentrate on what records I'm going to play because I'm looking at the phone. Of course, 3 minutes, 1-0, Johnson. And I looked at my phone and it went on and on and on. And it was well past 90. And I was just about to explode on the mic. And I looked at my phone and it said, can't even remember his name now, puts the host 2-1 up. What?
Yeah.
7 minutes in, for horrible. God's sake. Yeah, absolutely was. And that was with so many injuries at that time. I mean, the whole Ange thing, I don't know how he's coped with the amount of ridiculous problems he's had with injuries. And that Chelsea game was just crazy, wasn't it? The Chelsea player that got Romero sent off, contriving to cause that issue in the Chelsea penalty box. The referees falling for things. You know, Bissouma at Forest, Bissouma at Luton. You know, you've seen other players not even get yellows for that. And everything like that has gone against us this season. Perfectly good goal, second goal against Chelsea. I didn't think that was offside. The Son goal after 20 minutes. And it's so he's done remarkably well. So we've got to cut him some slack. But boy, this Palace game's big. This Palace game is huge. Low block again. He's got to somehow get Son through the middle and bring Johnson in, I think, and get Kulu on the left again. That's all I can. And hopefully, our best player is Bentancur. He's got to, in the next 2 weeks, I don't know what he has to do, but he's got to get that guy right because he is, for me, the best player we've had for years.
When he's fit and on form, yeah, but he has been poor recently, hasn't he, the last couple of times, which is why he rested him, or call it what you like, dropped him, rested him, whatever you want to say, but he didn't pick him on Saturday, and I felt like that was fair, because although I agree with you, Bentancur is, you know, I mean, there's the old saying, isn't there, form is temporary, class is permanent. Which is actually, yeah, but sometimes players just go off and never come back, either because of injury or they just get worse. You know, I mean, look what happened to Dele Alli just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Bentancur is coming back from bad injury spell, and although he is top class, his form is not on. Actually, for me, while I was watching, it was a very frustrating watch, wasn't it? But my feeling was that the only two players who actually played pretty well were the central midfielders. I thought Bissouma and Sarr actually played all right. They didn't really do anything wrong. The real disappointment came further up the pitch with all the forward line didn't play well enough. And you've got to find ways through, including Maddison, actually. So, I mean, the whole front four. Maddison has an excuse because he's only just back, because he's still getting back to fitness. And I'm not worried about him. If he can stay fit, he will play himself back into serious form. I've no doubt about that. But the other three, I don't know. Go on, Chris.
I also think to build on Richard's point there, you know, you've also got a team that had just sort of settled in terms of the absences from AFCON and the Asia Cup. And obviously, when you've got those players back, of course you're going to reintegrate them. Of course you are, because they're our sort of first team. But, you know, like that sort of chopping and changing as well, you know, like it's interesting. I mean, I thought, you know, I mean, you could always kind of criticise the substitutions, couldn't you? I wouldn't have taken Sarr off.
No, I was surprised.
His kind of dynamism is kind of what you need in that midfield to keep the ball moving. And as you said, there was a lot of pedestrian sideways. It felt like a bit of Spurs of old. As you say, I'm not sure where Ange Ball was on Saturday. And Sarr is very much a proponent of that. So I was surprised to see him come off, but you know, I'm not the expert. I do leave that to Ange, and I'm happy for him to do that job. And I guess, you know, we just weren't there on Saturday.
Mm. Sarr wasn't happy coming off, was he? He screamed out.
I mean, I don't blame him, because it was not a great team performance, but the one I felt, the only shining light in the whole team, and which was a pretty lackluster performance, was him. So it did seem odd. But then, like you say, Chris, we're still at the stage where we don't really, well, I am, not everyone is, but we are, where you don't really doubt Ange. You think, well, he'll have his reasons for that. And Sarr, maybe because Sarr does play so full on, maybe he thinks you can't ask him to do 90 minutes like that. Or you can, but inevitably there's a law of diminishing returns there. He's going to get slightly less dynamic as the game goes on. You have five subs. Why not freshen it up? But yeah, I was surprised to see him go off as well, but I'm not as surprised as he was, evidently.
Ben Davis had a decent game. I know Richard just sort of said about that final header, and I just think he didn't know where he was. You know, like you could just sort of see the direction the ball went in. It's sort of in a diagonal line to me because I'm in the East Lower. And I'm like, he didn't know where he was in relation to the goal. Because he knew where the goal was in relation to his body, he would have gone off in that direction. And he had that wonderful volley in the first half as well. That if it had just dipped in time, it would have been an absolute worldie. But I mean, you know, if some butts and, you know, candy and nuts, we'd have a happy new year.
Well, I mean, Davis doesn't, he will always give it everything. He's a solid pro and he's always 100% committed. So you always hesitate to criticise him. But he is basically a meat and potatoes defender, isn't he? He's definitely not Destiny Udogie. By the way, won't it be great when Destiny Udogie becomes a father and we can start talking about Destiny's child? Just thought about that the other day.
Yeah. How long have you been saving that one up for?
Yeah. Oh, it just came to me the other day and I just thought, I can't wait. We can all start singing Destiny's Child songs on the terraces. Anyway, I mean, he, whatever you do with Davis, you will never turn him into Destiny Udogu. But he has a. But so I guess it comes back to that thing. Well, when you've got to play Davis, especially if you've got to play him and Emerson Royale, maybe you just change it. But he's just not going to change it, which, you know, fine. Maybe next year, what he will do in the next window is he'll buy backup defenders that are more like the ones they're backing up, which
I think that's
sense.
More likely the case than actually changing, because I think.
Yeah.
Not going to change the way he plays. He's going to change the personnel to fit the style of play that he thinks is the right way of winning football matches and ultimately winning trophies. And he has had it in other places.
The funny thing is about those fullbacks is that actually at the beginning of the season, if you looked at our squad, you'd have thought, well, who could back? Well, at that point, we didn't know how he's going to. We didn't know anything about Ange, really, not much anyway. But if you look at Udogie and Porro, you think about who's on the books who could potentially play like them because they're made up like it. You'd look at Sessegnon and you'd look at Spence. Spence is absolutely persona non grata. Doesn't matter who the manager is, he is persona non grata. And Sessegnon, he broke down again on Saturday playing for the under-21s. It's such a shame. But you look at them, the types of player, the types of fullbacks they are or were when we last saw them, seems a long time ago now. Very athletic, very quick, very, you know, so you, do you think they might have more like the kind of attributes required to back them? But I mean, that's pie in the sky, imagining them back in this value. Well, you never know, do you? I mean, some people get rehabilitated. You'd never thought you'd see them again. The Chelsea's back, isn't he? And still being an active member of the squad. So who knows?
Well, I bought a programme for the first time in ages at the weekend because there was a Proud Little Boys feature in it.
Yeah.
And my nephew was looking at it as we were walking back to the car. And he commented that both Tanganga and Ndombele were on the squad.
Yeah. Are they back then? I thought Ndombele was... No, Tanganga's definitely at Millwall. He went. He did come back, but then he went off to Millwall. I think Ndombele was going to come back. And then suddenly at the last minute, Galatasaray said, oh, sod it. We might as well keep him.
Even if they're on loan, do they keep them on the squad list?
It seems so, doesn't it? It seems like an odd thing to do, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do we think this is an administrative error on the part of the programme editor?
I was commenting, because I just looked at the back of it. I was like, God, our squad list is much longer than theirs.
Yeah.
And then my nephew was like, yeah, but it's got Ndombele, it's got Tanganga on it, it's got someone else's name I don't recognise.
Yeah, John Pratt. I mean, it's ridiculous. No, that is, I think that's just a mistake. Simple as that. One thing's for sure, Tanganga and Ndombele ain't going to be filling in for Udogie and Porro.
No way. No.
You could be assured of that. That is for sure. I'm glad you mentioned that there was a feature in the programme, Chris, because you came on the pitch at half-time, of course.
I did.
Which is, I would say, the high point of the entertainment.
It didn't rain on me like it did last time I did that.
Right.
Well, we like to think that we... contributed to our goal, which happened only seconds after
the
pitch. In fact, I was unable to answer the final question that Paul Coy asked me because in my ear was the producer saying, players are in the tunnel, the players are in the tunnel, they're coming on the pitch.
Wow.
And I was like, ah, I'm not used to that. I'm not a broadcaster.
Do they give you an earpiece as a guest on the...
You've got headphones on.
Wow.
Yeah, you've got headphones on and, you know, it's like 5 minutes, you know, 5 seconds and then you're in and then they're in your ear.
Very super professional. Bloody old Tottenham Hotspur. It's all changed since the old days, isn't it?
Proper stadium production.
Yeah, impressive. Impressive. Mm. Well, yeah, you did. I don't know what you did, but they came out and played well for about 3 minutes. It wore off pretty quick. Yeah. But tell us about the landmark the Proud Lily Whites have reached.
So it's the 10-year anniversary of the Proud Lily Whites. We started in February 2014. And at the beginning of this season, with the rest of the committee, one of the things that we wanted to do was properly mark it. Because we're one of the pioneers of the LGBTQI plus fan group movement in this country. When we started, there was us and three others, and now there are more than 50. And we've done loads of great work with the club, with the club and stuff that we've done with and for our members over the years. And we wanted to celebrate it. So we had a brilliant event at the stadium on Thursday evening where we premiered a film that we made, which will hopefully go out on our actual birthday, which is when we launched, which was 27th of February, 2014. I found an old photograph. So our initial meeting was the 10th of February, 2014, but the launch event was against when we played Dnipro. Do you remember we played Dnipro in February 2014? That was our launch event.
Right.
And so we had an event at the stadium, and it felt slightly overwhelming on Thursday evening as I pulled the car up opposite the West Atrium to find a stadium lit up in rainbow colours, the front of the stadium saying celebrating 10 years of the Proud Alumni, and inside the West Atrium, the whole signage being there. And we had about 120, 130 guests, a panel, we premiered our film, Ben Davis and Ellie Brazil came along and met some members before we kicked off. It was a really good night showcasing all the work that we've done with the club over the last 10 years.
Fantastic. And what kind of work do you do for those that don't know?
Yeah, so, I mean, the three things we came up with in that on our very first meeting, which was actually a wet Tuesday night in February, came up with three things, and they're still the three principles that drive us today, which is community, education, and campaigning. The community is the most important thing. It's about bringing people together, bringing Spurs fans together who are LGBTQI+, to ensure that they know that football really is for them. I mean, I've said it many times, but, you know, that feeling that you get when the ball's flying through the air about to hit the back of the net and everyone rises in unison, it is a unique experience to football. And you get that feeling with everyone around you, whether you know them or not, you know you're in that together. And for a lot of LGBTQI+ folk, even if they have loved football in the past, that can feel like football can feel like it's not for them. And I don't want to deny that feeling I've just described anybody. So one of the things we want to do is bring people together. And that visibility that we have, the big flag in the stadium and various other things that we've done to bring people together in terms of building our membership, running events, got a vibrant WhatsApp group, you know, that visibility has brought people from all over the world and all over the country into sort of our community, which we're very proud of. We want to sort of try and eradicate homophobic discrimination from the game. And with that, I think comes some kind of education and awareness building. I don't want to criminalise or prosecute anybody. So, you know, we're very much into sort of restorative justice, if you like. And sometimes it is just about raising awareness and education. You know, there's a certain chant that's levelled at Chelsea fans. We've made a film about that. You know, my co-chair Lee came away from the game for a number of years because of that chant, because it was a term that was
homophobic,
homophobic slur but it was levelled against him in the playground, and his school bully used it against him, and then he came to football and found it, and so he was like, "Oh my god, I can't," you know. But with seeing the Proud Little White flag, made him realise that actually that was for him, and he came back into the game and is now co-chair. I mean, and I could go on and on, and we helped to change the law with that slur. We helped support an asylum case for one of our members. You know, that visibility we've built has brought people back to the game. And we, you know, also, you know, from a fan education perspective, we work with Kick It Out on some fan education as well. So there's all sorts of things I could talk about. And then we talk about campaigning, whether it's Rainbow Laces campaign or specific issues that we think are important. But, you know, as with any sort of social movement, things go backwards as well as forwards. So we've taken great strides in the last 10 years. But last year in England and Wales, hate crime in terms of people's sexual orientation rose by 42%. And hate crime against trans people rose by 56%.
God.
And so, and as you can imagine, social media is a cesspool for that online words can have real life consequences, as I've just kind of given you those stats. So, you know, those are some of the reasons as well why we continue to do the things that we do.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on 10 years of great work, and long, long may that continue. We'll take a little break now, and then when we come back, we'll anticipate the future.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. Spurs Show merchandise is available. You can check it all out and be the envy of your friends. You just click the link on the description to this podcast. Our monthly live shows are up and running. It's a great time to sign up because we got Peter Taylor on February the 28th. Looking forward to that. He's always brilliant. So you sign up at season.spursshow.net. And then on March the 20th, we've got a Spurs Show evening with Paul Gascoigne at the Leicester Square Theatre. And, you know, I've probably been, we've been so excited for so long, but it's not far away now. It's a matter of a few weeks away. And if you bought a season ticket, half of that would be repaid by the ticket you get included for Paul Gascoigne. But there are individual show tickets left because we released a few more last week. And you can check out the link again in the description of this podcast if you want to buy tickets for that. That is going to be some night. Do follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts if you get time, because those 5-star reviews push us up the kind of algorithm and more people get to hear about us. And that would be great. Thank you ever so much. As I say, next week, we got Peter Taylor. Is that next week? 28th, I think. 20th. Sorry, I might have said the 28th. I did say the 20th. I'm very confused about the dates, as you can probably tell. But it says here, next Wednesday, we're live with Peter Taylor. Who am I to argue?
That is the 28th. That is the 28th.
Oh, that is the 28th. There we go, then. There we go. So there we are. Now, back in the room. As I said before, Crystal Palace today, a very strange turn of events at Crystal Palace. Roy Hodgson was on thin ice as manager. And then just as it looked like they'd lined someone up, it's almost like on the scale of when Martin Gerald got the sack, because it seemed like he was being sacked before, when everyone knew about it before he did. But then, in a terrible twist of fate, he then collapses at the training ground. He's still in the hospital now, I think. But this all happened last week, but the news came through today that he has resigned, or there's been some mutual agreement, and they've brought in this bloke, Oliver Glasner. When we play Palace, it'll be in 2 weeks' time, because this weekend we don't have a game. We were due to play Chelsea, but they're in the League Cup final. They'll be playing Liverpool at Wembley. So we've got 2 weeks off. Sometimes those unexpected breaks work in your favour. Sometimes they do not. It's slightly concerning because they've got 2 weeks in the wake of a home defeat. So the psychology of it will be a real test of Ange Ball, because Ange, as much as anything, is about positive psychology, isn't he? What do you think the effect of that might be, Richard?
Well, like I said before, it's a huge game. And I think the two salient points here are, and I hope I'm not tempting fate here, hopefully Eze and the winger are not back for that game.
Elise,
it's touch and go. It's touch and go with one of them. The centre-back that we were chasing is back. They played, they play tonight at Everton. That may have an impact as well. But we must get an early goal. In that game, we've got to bring them out. Otherwise, I mean, God forbid we do another Wolves and go 1-0 down, because it's going to be pain. Very important the crowd are 100% behind the team. But as I say, it's a massive game. I mean, that and the week after at Villa are absolutely huge. I think we'll know by then. I think we'll know by then whether top four is still potentially there. I mean, thank goodness Newcastle are not doing much. Thank goodness Chelsea slipped up at the weekend, because I still haven't discounted them, you know. But the amount of money they've spent, sooner or later, they're going to go on a run. United are very poor, but they seem to be getting these freakish goals. I mean, that second goal at Luton yesterday was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
He claims it was, he claims it was a brilliant finish.
Yeah, nonsense. And I tell you what, the week before, I don't know who they beat somebody the week before. That was offside.
Right.
That was offside.
And that's not supposed to happen in the modern game.
Well, so the Palace game's huge. Before we go, I would love to touch on, for me, the elephant in the room here, which is fantastic for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. And it's called FFP. And it's now seeing clubs, Wolves being one, who are having to sell players to stay within the rules. And ourselves, because of brilliant planning, match day revenue, fan base, and a whole lot of other activity that Daniel Levy's organised, we are going to see the benefits of that hugely at Tottenham Hotspur. There's no doubt about it. Who knows what will happen with Manchester City? I think down three divisions, personally. Be a Rangers job. Well, Rangers work. What's
the
difference?
I know.
There's no difference. Seriously.
Well, City might have better lawyers. That's the only thing I would say.
Well,
and
maybe.
They've got unlimited funds, that's for sure.
Yeah, but that can only get them so far. Liverpool, obviously, even with the lad from Brighton or the guy from the German team in, it's going to take some time to rejig. So, you know, I only see good things for the future. I just hope it's going to be this season. But if not, I am so confident for next year. I really am.
Good. Good. I mean, I think we've got every chance still of getting in the top four. And it may, as we all know, it's still in the balance, but it may be top five that gets you into the Champions League. So Villa are very flaky. Sometimes they look really good and sometimes they look terrible. They're a bit like us. They'll lose at home. I mean, they lost badly at home to Newcastle the other week. I mean, Newcastle are crap, aren't they? But then they'll beat, you know, they'll beat good teams. They'll beat us on our ground. And United, you know, you said earlier, United are the enemy to me. You certainly demonstrated that. It is a thinly veiled contempt you have for Manchester United.
Well,
that's for sure.
I see them now as a club that's attempting to mimic our model.
Okay.
I've never forgiven them for getting Bruno Fernandes. If ever there was a one-man team in the division, take him out of that team, there'd be nowhere near the top five. I'm serious. Every game I watch, he is totally responsible for anything good. And the fans have a right go at him up there. They have a go at the Glazers. How many was it?
Yeah.
600 million or something last summer. I mean, they've outspent on transfer fees and on players' wages to a ridiculous... You know, they're never going to get that back in with Jim What's-His-Face. He's too much of a businessman. And good luck when you try and build a new stadium in Manchester, because it's now... Real estate there is through the roof. Anyway, that's enough of my answer.
I love it.
They have decimated their main asset, though. You know, there's a leaky roof at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Imagine having a Euros in this country and Old Trafford not being a venue because they've made such a mess of it.
They've just spent nothing on it the whole since they took over.
If I were United fans, I'd be moaning about the Glazers as well, to be fair.
But
I'm showing my bias here. My dad's a Man United fan, you see. So as much as I, you know, I actually don't care what they do, really, not really. I have a bit more of a soft spot for them, clearly, than Richard does.
Richard despises them.
Yeah, well, I think their noisy neighbours are the other problem they've got, but I think FFP might solve that problem for them.
Yeah, FFP always sounds like it's some sort of term of abuse, doesn't it? Put a hashtag in front of it and it really would feel like. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you're right going forward, though. I think that Spurs are always, you know, much one of the reasons why Levy's always got so much stake is they've always, you know, lived within their means, which is very unusual for any football club. But now, of course, that's the rules. So, like you say, I mean, there are many potential benefits to that. One, we're not going to get in trouble. Another benefit is that we are, that we'll be able to spend more because our revenue is very, very high. But also, there will be players will become available because these clubs have got to sell. I mean, Wolves, for example, Neto is such a fabulous player, isn't he? They've got a few good players, but Neto is a good example of someone. I mean, Chelsea, they keep saying Chelsea have got to sell Conor Gallagher. They have to. They're going to have to sell.
Yeah.
And because he's come through the ranks, he's clear profit. They haven't paid anything for him, and that will help get them back within the maybe. But I mean, the thing is, the money that Chelsea and City have spent, you think, how can they be anything other than guilty? If Everton are guilty, I mean, how can they be anything other than guilty? And B, what could they possibly? They'd have to sell so many players to get themselves back in. You would have thought, but City are already charged, aren't they? But you know, you just think money talks in these situations. Unfortunately,
They got away with one last time. I think that was fairly widely acknowledged at the time. I think the fact they're going back at them means they've got them this time. They've got them this time. I may be wrong, but I don't.
I just wonder how long it'll take. That's the
August.
Thing.
August, they're saying, aren't they?
Right.
August. I mean, Newcastle are thinking of selling Bruno. Is it Bruno Gamara? Again, a player. Take him out of that team.
He's fantastic, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He's our Bentancur, isn't he?
Yeah, he's that sort of player. Very classy central midfielder. Yeah, he's got a bit of everything about him. Yeah, good player. Well, you're right. You know, maybe next season all of these things will have an effect. The thing is this season it would be such a great thing. Some fans, I mean, I don't know where you stand, Chris, but some fans say, who cares if we get in the Champions League? We always go out of it early, which isn't strictly true. We have been to the final.
I'd love to finish in Champions League places because I think it's a number of things. One is, you know, what that means in terms of revenue, particularly given what we've just been talking about. Secondly, like going to new places. I love going to new places and football's a great way of doing that. And then I think, and thirdly, and maybe most importantly, it's about how you attract players. Now, because we've got everything else. We've got an incredible stadium. We've got incredible facilities for them to sort of train and be in. Then if you're in top competitions in Europe, that's where we should be, because if we're going to be a top football club, that's where we should be, in the top competitions in Europe. So you know, I think I'd love to be in the Champions League. I do wonder, you know, at the beginning of this season, or certainly at the end of last season, we couldn't ever imagine it. So I think the fact that we could even, you know, regardless of the fact that we lost at the weekend, that we're still there or thereabouts, I think is testament to Ange.
And given the problems he's had,
and all
the work that he's done. So, you know, I'm not going to, I guess I will be disappointed if we don't, because of course you want to be in the best competitions. I think at the very least, we need to be back in some kind of European competition next season. And we should be, given, you know, given where we are, you would hope.
Champions League,
And just on Palace, I think what's interesting, of course, you've got this whole new manager bounce thing that everyone's going to be talking about, except if Palace are playing this weekend, just to remind
you. Yeah, that's true. We're not the first.
They are,
against whoever they're playing this weekend and not us. And by all accounts as well, I saw, you know, that sort of Freakonomics thing.
Yeah.
They did some analysis on new manager bounce and it's not actually a thing.
It's a load of bollocks. Excellent. Well, that's really cheered me up.
Yeah,
because you know what I immediately thought of? I don't know if you remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but bloody Alan Pardew got the job at Palace. He left Newcastle to go to Palace, and it was like the return, because he was a Palace player, you know, and as a popular Palace player, he'd been involved in that cup run they'd had and all that. So, and I remember it being on the telly, and all the bloody media and all the pundits in the studio, and I mean, we were a good side of that, but I think it was early Pochettino days. And but everybody was talking up Palace and their new manager bounce, and they were going to, you know, Spurs were going to fight, and they won. And I was quite bitter about it, because it wasn't just that we lost. It was the way the whole of bloody football wanted Palace to win because of the story. Well, at least Oliver Glasner never played for Palace in a FA Cup semi-final. So maybe they won't get quite so so excited about him. I checked on the latest injury news. It would appear that Udogie has got every chance of playing in that game. He's only got a minor knock, and Porro's got a pretty good chance as well, because you just feel like, I mean, every time we think we've got the team back, it's not back. I mean, we're just getting the first team back. But, I mean, if you lose one fullback, that's bad. But to lose them both, it's so integral, isn't it? It's a bit like when we lost both the centre-backs. I mean, it's not quite as bad as that because, of course, we didn't have any centre... We didn't play any centre-backs in their stead. But it's nearly as bad as that because they're such an important part of the system and they're just so good. I mean, they are... I mean, there have been so many good players this season, but they've been a revelation, those two. I really do think... You know, I really wouldn't swap Udogie, I don't think, for any other left back in the country. I mean, there are a lot of good right backs around, obviously, because you're going to get more right footed players. But Porro is definitely among the very best. But Udogie, I wouldn't swap him for anyone. I mean, he's still young, so he still makes mistakes. He gives the ball away every now and then and lunges in with his studs up every now and then. So he's still got things to learn and he's got to be finessed. But I do love him. So good news if they come back, if the fullbacks are back, it's another game for Maddison. It's a shame for Maddison to have to wait 2 weeks to play, actually, because he needs games, doesn't he? But nevertheless, he's still got another game in his tank. So I think at some point at Maddison, I remember he always did that at Leicester. He always got an injury once a season. And then he'd come back slow and then suddenly, bang, he's back. And everyone's like, wow, guy Maddison at Leicester. And you think, yeah, every season this is what happens. So hopefully that'll happen. And that'll be in time for the run-in. And he'll be, you know, when he's back firing on all cylinders. I'm excited. For the end of the season, particularly now we know that the new manager bounces a load of bollocks, and and I think I'm always accused of being a happy clappy. I do. I'm nearly always optimistic. Richard, I just wanted to ask, a bit off topic this, but I noticed on your Twitter that you're doing an event coming up. I think it's in Blackpool, and your special guest. Your special guest, am I right in saying, is Betty Levett?
Yeah, that's the Blackpool International Soul Festival at the Winter Gardens, June 21st to 23rd. I mean, yes, but the Grammy-nominated Betty Levett will be with us.
I absolutely love her.
Oh, you've got to come and see. Well, come to the matches. Come as my guest. Please do.
Really? I absolutely love Betty Levett. The last two albums she's put out have been absolutely... She made that incredible album of Bob Dylan covers. And then last year she had an album, which is, as you say, has been nominated, was nominated in the Grammys.
Which was on tour.
Interesting collaborations, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's
with,
on tour.
With Steve Winwood and people.
You can see her in London, I think it's the 6th of May, doing songs like what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay. One of the great new stuff. Yeah. But at my gig, it would be fantastic for you to come, because what she's going to do there is all her rare stuff from the years at Carla, Atlantic, and Atco. So that's
right.
And Carla. So obviously Let Me Down Easy will be in there. But she's doing two numbers she's never... ever done live before, and all the others are unique to Blackpool. So go to both shows, but please, please, please come and, because you can meet her then, because she's coming up to the VIP area.
She's such a character as well. I've heard her on podcasts.
Oh, have you read a book? My God.
No, I should read it, but she's very forthright, isn't she? She tells stories about encounters with famous
people.
She has no truck with temperamental celebrities whatsoever, does she?
God, Audrey and Chad, she's quite frightening in a nice way.
Yeah.
But I know last time we had her there about 7 or 8 years ago, what did she say to me? I said something about how's your husband? And she said, he's got the same disease as you. I said, what's that? He said he's a record collecting fanatic, an addict. Yeah, an addict.
Wow.
But no, she's a survivor. I think
totally.
You know, I book these acts, you know, and it's getting harder and harder, Theo, because for a variety of reasons, we've had most of them over. But she's like the last one standing now. She really is.
And did you ever have Mavis Staples?
No, I saw her once in New York, would you believe, at the Apollo with Al Green. That was amazing.
Wow. Oh, my God. I've realised? We've got off on a massive tangent here.
I know we have.
On like this race. It's my fault entirely.
Can I mention Europe? Can I mention Europe again? because yes. Chris is right. We've got to get into Europe. Now, even if it's only the Europa, we'll still pack the stadium regardless. And there's every chance we would progress further in that and therefore get more games, more crowds, and more revenue. Although I realise the prize money isn't as much. If we didn't make Europe, we would have a problem with FFP because it's amortised over three seasons. So the season we're in now is obviously a downside, but the previous two seasons were way up there. So we've, you know, if Daniel Levy was in on this now, he'd be saying top six is absolutely vital. Top four, wonderful. Top six, essential. So, you know, hence me still watching Newcastle's results and Chelsea's results.
I also think, you know, there's all of those, that stuff, which I completely agree, but I think we're Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We should be top six in the Premier League. We should be in the top four of the Premier League. We're pushing to be in the top two, the top, you know, the top of the Premier League.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's part of the sort of ladder to that potentially is that. But yeah, I completely agree with you.
It'd be such a different conversation if we'd won the game on Saturday, wouldn't it? With all of us. The whole backdrop to this conversation.
Always. Was,
you know, but anyway, well, we can't change that now.
One thing I wanted to touch on before we go, Chris, is one thing that came up this weekend, which was an extraordinary thing, but there's trouble at the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust. Now, I know the Trust quite well. I do things with them. I do their events and stuff, and I love them. I love them past and present. But the past regime issued in the form of Martin Cloak, very articulate man, issued quite a big, did you see it? Quite a big stinging criticism of the present leadership. Him and Kat stood down about a year ago. And what do you make of that, Chris?
I think the same as you there, Theo. You know, like I'm a big proponent of the trust. I think a strong supporters trust is really important in for every football club. And I think we've been very lucky, and that ours has been one of the leaders in terms of, you know, this, the work that goes on in the Premier League. Now, it hasn't necessarily been as active or as strong as it. I think it might, it should be really more recently. I can't tell you for why, you know, but I think, you know, having a strong supporters trust is really important. So, you know, I think whichever way we can find our way back to that, I think is crucial, you know, particularly as we're kind of, you know, on the cusp of, you know, looking at what regulation looks like and all of that kind of stuff. I think, you know, and I see other clubs as well with my work with the FSA, and, you know, there's warring amongst supporters groups and all the rest of it. And we, touch wood, we don't have that. So I think, you know, it must have taken a lot for Kat and Martin to write that. They said at the beginning of the piece, they don't take any pleasure in it. And I believe that very much. They want what's right for the Spurs fan base. And I think a strong trust is that, and you know, and I don't think it's beyond the people that are currently in it for that. I just think it's about where the focus now sits. So I'm you know, as I say, I'm big fans of, as you say, of the current lot as well as the old lot, and I hope, you know, we can all find a way through it because it's important for the fan base.
Hear, hear. Absolutely. All right, well, let's wrap it up now. You know how we wrap it up. I force you to make predictions for the upcoming game. So this is the Palace game. I'll probably do all this all over again next week because we won't have had another game in between. So your predictions will be added to next week's unfortunate guests. So, Richard, give us a prediction for the Palace game.
2-0.
Yeah? Nice 2-0, and straight. Yeah.
I've done the five games after it, but I'm not going to mention it because I'll jinx it. But my predictions give us 16 points out of 18.
Oh, so that's the sort of predictions I make.
Yeah, yeah. The only drop points are at Villa in a 1-1 draw. But no, 2-0 against Palace. Early goal is essential.
Yeah, we'd probably take a draw at Villa, actually, to be fair. Chris, how do you see the Palace game going?
4-1.
Yeah, you think we're going to really rediscover our mojo, especially if the fullbacks are back.
Absolutely. And I think we owe someone a bit of a hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why it shouldn't be that, because I think there's gonna be a little bit of hurt from the players' perspective as well, I would hope, after the game. Having a week off, getting, yeah. you know, getting the fullbacks back. I think someone's due a hiding, and I don't see why it shouldn't be Palace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hard luck, Palace, but you're next in line. All right, brilliant. Listen, I'd like to thank you both very, very much. I've enjoyed this a lot. It's been a really rich show. We've covered a lot of stuff. So Chris and Richard, thank you very, very much. Hope to see you both very soon.
Thank you, Theo.
And this is Theo Delaney signing off in North London saying, go in, you Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.